Welcome. You are listening to Central Synagogue's podcast, featuring sermons, lectures, and conversations from Manhattan's historic Central Synagogue. I'm Rabbi Angela Buchdahl. Each week, we invite you to listen to messages of strength and hope given by our clergy on Shabbat or Jewish holidays. You can also listen to audio recordings of other programs and lectures given at Central by subscribing to this podcast on the platform of your choice. If you'd like to watch our live stream services or learn more about our congregation, I invite you to visit us at centralsynagogue.org. We hope you enjoy this week's sermon. And raise me up to a world of living,
safe from the storm. I was born in Long Island 9 years after the Brooklyn Dodgers made their move from New York to California. And if I had a shekel for every time I heard a person in my circle, be there, be they family or friend, lament the Dodgers' decision to go to LA while Cantor, to quote Tevye, I would be a wealthy man. So when I heard that about 7 weeks ago, Carl Erskine, one of the last players to suit up as a Brooklyn Dodger, died, I expected to hear an avalanche of emotion from Brooklyn Dodgers fans. I expected to hear about this seismic event and how it helped my favorite team, the New York Mets, come into existence. Now, perhaps in pockets of our city and elsewhere, Mr. Erskine's death brought back the nostalgia and the trauma that I heard about all throughout my young life. But what I heard 7 weeks ago was, I think the technical halachic term is bubkis. Nothing. Not one person I knew mentioned his passing. And when I suggested to a clergy colleague that perhaps that week we should integrate the news of Erskine's passing into Shabbat services, they politely heard my suggestion, but it was clear that Erskine's passing did not strike the same emotional chord in them as it did in me. And Erskine did not make it into the Shabbat roster that week. What is going on? I thought. This is the end of an era. One of the last living Brooklyn Dodgers has died. This is a big deal. Well, it was at least to me. Now, keep in mind, if I had ever heard of Carl Erskine, it was a long time ago. 10 weeks ago, if you would have asked me if I knew who Carl Erskine was, I may have said that his name sounded familiar, but I would not have been able to say from where. It was his Brooklyn Dodger credentials that caught my attention when he died, not him. His passing and the stories that followed allowed me to learn more about his remarkable life, and I'd love to share a little bit of what I discovered. Let's start with his Dodgerness. Mr. Erskine was part of a nearly mythical group of ballplayers who were anointed the Boys of Summer. And Erskine played alongside players I would be able to identify by name. Pee Wee Reese, Duke Snider, Roy Campanella, and Jackie Robinson. Robinson became Erskine's closest friend on the team. And later in life, Erskine credited Jackie Robinson for teaching him some of life's most important lessons: tolerance, patience, care, and understanding. In his Los Angeles Times obituary, journalist Russ Stanton noticed, on the field, Erskine was known for his strong overhand curveball and his dependability as a starting pitcher in 12 seasons with the Dodgers in Brooklyn and in Los Angeles. He had 122 wins and an earned run average of 4.0. He threw two no-hitters. In his first, he missed a perfect game after walking a relief pitcher. Oy vey. The latter no-hitter against the rival New York Giants was particularly sweet, Erskine said, because on the day of the game, Giants scout Tom Sheehan was quoted in a New York newspaper saying that the Dodgers were no longer a powerhouse because, quote, Robinson and Campanella were too old and that Erskine couldn't win with the garbage he was throwing. And after the last out, his friend Jackie, he rushed to the Giants dugout where the scout who said that was sitting. He pulled the article out of his back pocket and waved it at him and yelled, "How do you like that garbage?" Erskine later said in a 2012 interview, "Our rivalry with the Giants was fierce." Just curious, did anyone here remember that rivalry? We have a couple of head nods, maybe online as well. It must have been something to experience in real time. And talking about these rivalries, the LA Times columnist wrote that the highlight of Erskine's career probably came in Game 3 of the 1953 World Series against the Dodgers' other crosstown nemesis, the New York Yankees. After being shelled and removed in Game 1, Erskine returned as the Game 3 starter and struck out a then World Series record 14 batters, including future Hall of Famer Mickey Mantle 4 times. It was a 3-2 victory at Ebbets Field in Brooklyn. Erskine said, "I didn't know about the record until I got into the clubhouse and the writers came in and told me. They announced it over the PA system, but I was so oblivious to everything because I was focused on what I was doing on the mound that I didn't even hear it." Now, there's a lot more I could share about Erskine's career as a baseball player, and I also want to share what he wrote about in his book, What I Learned from Jackie Robinson, with co-author Burton Harris. In it, he wrote that his experiences as Robinson's teammate and close friend helped prepare him for another difficult challenge in life, being the parent of a child with Down syndrome. Erskine's fourth child, Jimmy, was born with Down syndrome in 1960. And this was a period when children with special needs were often not understood or accepted for who they were. Erskine said, "I often felt Jackie came into my life to teach me how to channel energy and anger towards what was happening around me with Jimmy and society's non-acceptance of Down syndrome and other birth defects." He wrote, "Jackie's impact started a momentum for Americans to see things differently." His son Jimmy went on to compete in the Special Olympics as a swimmer. And as an adult, Jimmy worked at an Applebee's restaurant. Carl dropped him off and picked him up each day. Jimmy died last year at the age of 63. And I haven't even mentioned how Carl was born and died in the same town, or his service in the Navy, or his diverse career after baseball, or his Moses-like humility. He described his remarkable life as bland, saying, "I had one hometown, played for one team, had one wife, hit one home run, nothing fancy." Nothing fancy, except for living a beautiful life. I'm not exactly sure why the death of one of the last living Brooklyn Dodgers was not a bigger deal, but my hypothesis is as follows. 1958 was a long time ago. It's been 66 years since the team announced its plans to move. Yes, the boys of summer are boys no longer. Add to this that in 1958, baseball, by far, was the most popular sport in the United States. But in 2024, it competes with many other sports for people's attention. Also in 1958, there were basically three television channels. And in our current day, at least by my check, I think there are 3 million television channels. All right, I'm exaggerating, but when you add the distraction of texting and smartphones and search engines, well, I can understand why it may not have been so easy to be aware or even focused on the death of one of the last Brooklyn Dodgers. Here we are together on Shavuot morning, one of the four holidays where we insert a special remembrance liturgy into our services. Now, this is a day to remember our celebrities, our most valuable players, our superstars, our parents, our grandparents, our aunts and uncles. Some of us are thinking about our spouses and our children and other family and friends. If our losses are recent, we may still be feeling the sharp intensity of our loved one's death. And that intensity may also remain for our loved ones who died some time ago. Every person's grief is truly individual and has its own trajectory. You honor your loved one and connection to them by remembering them. And in the wake of the news of Mr. Esrin's passing, I also want to encourage us to add to those we are remembering today, those of our loved ones who we may not have thought as much about as some others, and to reach out to other family members and friends to tell them a story about someone you want them to make sure they know about. I did this a few days ago when I was in Long Beach with my son, when I spoke to him about my Aunt Lillian, the woman we chose to honor when we chose my son's Hebrew name, which is Lev. Now, I think of Lillian all the time. She was my great aunt, and she was a great aunt. And I realize I want to be doing a better job of sharing stories with Caleb about how remarkable she was. If I don't tell him how every time I saw her that she called me darling, I can't really do her darling, but I hear it in my head, how she was one of the first people in our family to exercise and eat carefully before that was ever popular, how Lillian embraced her gay gray granddaughter when other people Lillian's age were rejecting family when they came out of the closet. If I don't tell him what I learned from her and how she continues to inspire me to live an open-hearted, loving life. Well, if I don't tell Caleb, who will? The same forces that are pulling away people from the former national pastime and so much more, customized entertainment, our shorter attention spans, smartphones, these forces can also result in us spending less time opening up our photo albums, sitting at the dinner table telling stories, and recalling the people who lit up our lives. Let us remember them. Let us tell those in our circles what made them famous. Let us share about their beautiful lives. Let us talk about all the little things that made them ours. Let us keep them on our conversation roster. Let us ensure they remain a big deal. For they were our treasure, and their legacy remains with us. Zichronam livracha. This Shavuot Yizkor Day, and every day, let us ensure our loved ones' memories always remain for blessing.
And I'd always praise your name. Thank you for listening to this edition of Central Synagogue's podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you're in the loop on future episodes. And please follow us on social media or watch our live stream at centralsynagogue.org, our Facebook page, or on national cable at the Jewish Broadcasting Service. Thanks again for joining us. Eloheinu.